Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
The late Ed McMahon was said to have a Christmas tree in his living room year-round.
He loved Christmas, right?
He loved the holidays so much that he kept his Christmas tree in his living room year-round. And I was thinking about that because just before the show started, we were discussing a Christmas miracle that has happened at our studios at Podcast Village in Washington, D.C., just outside Podcast Village in the hallway pooper.
It's actually in the suburbs of the village, Mike. It's the bathroom.
Suburbs of the village, yes. The pooper that we share with the Georgetown priests.
The Catholics, Mike.
Okay. All right.
Okay. That was not the best way to reveal it, but thank you, Mac, for your undying efforts.
Yes. Yeah.
Christ Almighty.
He has.
Have a seat, Beth Ann.
Yeah, honest to God.
Here's the elephant.
Now, what Rob is saying, okay, so we have the TV camera here, and we were going to have the story of the plant being revived. And of course, the culmination of that story would have been Rob holding up the plant
right
at the end, and then Mac, in his infinite wisdom, decided that he would bring it right in front of the camera.
Mike, what it was, it was
before we even started hearing the story, you incredible moron.
What it was, Mike, it was, as always, his zeal to sit down.
Yes,
he absolutely has a tremendous
eagerness.
Yep. Zeal. He is zealous.
Stand, Mac. Go over and stand next to Oscar.
Yeah, for the rest of the show.
Bounce on my knee.
No, just stand by him. I worry about you.
There you are.
Right, no, don't lean. Don't lean. You're not an engineer.
No, you can't lean.
Stand.
You
and hands out of your pockets. Stand. Nice.
Right here.
Good.
Put your crotch right next to my face.
You are there at least until the first commercial read. Okay. So my Christmas miracles.
Go sit down.
Well, no, no.
Go sit down. No, go sit down.
Okay, stand in that corner then. Because I'm pissed.
No, he doesn't have to stand. I know you're pissed. Go sit back down. Tell him he can sit back down.
No, stand for 10 minutes.
Come on, Rob. I know you like to torture intern.
Sit down.
All right. So what happened with this plant?
My Christmas miracles are not only happening in December. If you look, a Christmas miracle can happen every day.
That's exciting.
Because a poinsettia, or is it poinsettia?
I call them poinsettias. I've never pronounced
I think poinsettia or poinsettia. It would be...
No, I've never heard poinsettia.
That I'm just making up. Now I'm just being a jerk.
It's like a Porsche.
What it is, I'm still pissed at Mac, and it's manifesting. He's almost ruined the miracle. But
do you think the poinsettia in any way is connected to Ponce de Leon?
Could be. Could
I
be.
I have no idea. I don't know. I just thought I'd throw
that. Or as his friends called him, Ponce.
Ponce.
What up, Ponce?
And is Ponce de Leon, is that perhaps the origin of the name Poncho?
Well, yeah, like and Ponch from
Chips.
Yeah, from Chips, the California Highway Patrol.
I wasn't going to throw that in there. I was talking about origins of names, but I digress. Go ahead.
So the poinsettia is the traditional Christmas plant that you get in usually mid-December. You leave it around the house, and then you throw it away. It has a shelf life, maybe 17 days, I'm guessing.
Right.
And there was one in our men's room that I watched die throughout the month of December.
I purchased that one.
You did buy it?
Yes.
I see. I had no idea its origin story. Ace Hardware. How much?
$14.
You see, and it was lovely, but because it was in the bathroom, devoid of natural light, and I don't think many people were watering it, it died throughout the month of December. And I thought it was a wonderful allegory for the death of the Christmas spirit as we watched the poinsettia die.
I am not sure that the poinsettia plant requires light of the same amount that would be required of other plants. Thank you.
But would you say, to further that theory, the men's room is not its natural habitat?
I would say that is true, but I would posit to you that the poinsettia is more in need of a warm temperature and moisture
tropical
than it would be tropical than necessarily light.
It
for example, it would thrive in a rainforest.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
And it is humid in there, and there's a lot of fertilizer.
All right, now here's the problem, because Mac is going to talk. Mac?
Well, airborne fertilizer.
It is
what,
indigenous to Mexico.
It is indigenous to Mexico?
Yeah, that I looked up at on the Wikipedia. It says it is indigenous to Mexico.
Well said.
Is it in the rainforests around Mexico?
It says the it doesn't say where in Mexico, unfortunately. It just says
Tijuana, Mike.
Mexico.
It's in the streets of Tijuana.
I'm not sure whether it would be a desert plant. I'm not sure, but do some more research, boy.
Yeah, dive in.
Do some more research on the poinsettia. Yes, go ahead, Rob.
So it died throughout the month of December, and by the time the new year rolled around, all that existed was about, I would say, a dozen sticks and dead leaves around it.
Mm-hmm.
Which, to me, from my vantage point on camera now, would look exactly like it looks right now.
However, I noticed this very week, can you see this one?
When are you going to cue the music, the special music?
Because the miracle is about to be revealed, Mike. Do you see this one piece of red right there?
Is that a bloom?
It has begun to bloom. And is the Christmas miracle on March 1st. There's also a smattering of leaves happening.
There are buds.
This is a living thing.
Look at that. She has brought it back from death.
Well, you see, and we've tried to throw it away, but that brings chapter two of the miracle.
Yes.
Oscar's encounter with the mysterious woman who may or may not be the Virgin Mary.
Doña Rosa, our cleaning lady on Mondays and Wednesdays.
Doña Rosa, how is she related to this plant? Has she been watering it?
I asked her, I said, ¿se puede botar esa planta? And I told her, you can essentially throw away that plant.
It is so cute when he speaks Spanish.
And then she goes, no, esa planta va a vivir. And I said, no, it's not. She basically said the plant's going to live, right? And
Can you hold the plant up to my camera so I can get a better look at it?
And I said, ¿en cuántas semanas? And she said, how many weeks? I said, and she goes, en un mes. And she said, 1 month.
1 month. And, she said she would bring the plant back.
And in about 1 month ago,
show him the red part, dummy.
Look at the bloom,
right?
There is now a bloom where
the leaves are green.
She called it. She absolutely called it
to the day.
Wow. To the day.
That's just that I could cry. That is so special. That is here it is, March 1st on the Mike O'Mara Show, and we have a Christmas miracle all the way in March.
We have saved $14.
Mike, some people would say, and I believe our neighbors across the hall would say, miracles are happening all the time if you just take the time to look for them.
By the way.
All right, thank you, Mac. Thank you very much.
Go put it back in the bathroom.
Go put it back in the
pooper. Those Catholics. Because I'm here most of the day.
Yeah.
Now it's some sort of Catholic organization, is it not?
Yeah. They're associated with Georgetown University, right?
Which is a Catholic school.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Episcopalian. I don't know. Something different.
Mm-hmm. No, they're Catholic.
We thought the sales guys here had issues with their stomachs.
Yeah.
Because when we walk in there, sometimes it looked like Fallujah.
Yeah. Have you ever been to a carnival, Mike?
No, I'm not going to throw the sales guys under the bus. No, this is there is one problem with the pooper at WJFK, and his name was Bickle.
Yeah.
That is it. Okay, I mean,
I get it.
He is the bathroom destroyer of bathroom destroyers.
Have you been? Absolutely. Have you taken Michael to any small like county type fairs where they have spin art?
Yes.
That's
I know
the WJFK bathroom right there.
The WJFK bathroom. So, but you're saying they blow it up in there?
Once the guys blow out of town, which is around noon, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm still here. So occasionally I'll have to go. And I'll walk in and I'll be like, oh my God, what kind of monster has exercised the demon in here?
Really? Because you usually hit the can right after the show.
Yeah, but I still got to
avoid the bathroom between the regular and bonus show on Wednesdays. That's just smart money right
this
there.
This is the type of exorcism where I say to myself, I can't even go and hold my breath through this.
Yeah, it's some sort of anal stigmata.
You know what? And this is going to get a little gross. Not that it's not already gross, but the fact is, do you think perhaps airborne particulates have contributed to the success?
There's a separate door. Separate door.
Really?
Oh, yeah, but that door opens and closes. There's particulates flying like crazy.
No, I'm talking about like when the plant is in the bathroom, correct?
Yeah, yes. But there's a dividing door, almost like a pocket door for a separate room for the toilet.
Yeah.
That they can close, but I'm thinking that when you open that door, when the deed is done,
the
particulates are broadcast.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been in that room. It doesn't matter. So the plant sits outside of the actual toilet room.
Yes.
Yeah, that doesn't matter. It's still going to get there. I think maybe that has something to do with it, and I'm very happy that we have the wonderful plant
living
now.
So I have been eyeballing the team across the hall. There are three priests, two nuns that don't use our restroom, and one guy who isn't a priest but a student that cycles into work.
Yeah, is he an intern maybe?
He looks like an intern.
Yeah, he's a Catholic intern.
Yes.
Probably the priest.
Stop it.
I'm sorry. It's, you know,
the guy.
Did you ever have priests over? You had priests over to the house for supper.
The guy.
Father
Honan. The guy.
Father Honan came over.
The guy that I see on the Nest Cam all the time is the intern with the bike.
By the way, just to be clear, we don't have a Nest Cam in the bathroom.
No, no. It's just it's through the glass.
Right.
We tried. They told us we couldn't.
It was in the lease.
And and I'm like, man.
We tried to put it in the nun's room. They said no.
He said, we'll have none of that.
That's not true. Maybe
this is the cycle.
Yeah.
That cycles out what's going on in there.
Yeah, who knows?
No, he has his own cycling shoes that he lays out in the hallway.
See, that's gross. That's gross to me.
That's the type of man.
That he kicks off his cycling shoes. Yes. And by the way, cyclists are gross.
Yeah,
all right?
Pony.
Cyclists are gross.
What?
They're skinny,
a disgusting,
dirty,
little, gross
sect
cyclists.
Of the population.
I'm sure they think because they're thin
and fit that they can smell like ass all the
time.
Well,
I feel like this
all
guy.
All the time.
His diet is roughage.
Take that, Lance.
Where does he take a shower? There's no shower in this building.
No.
Right? So he's going in there. He's throwing on that collar, and everyone's like, "Oh, I guess you cycled to work, father."
Runners are the same way. I went to that back in the days when I actually thought I could be fit. Oh, by the way, I said that I would share with you one of my golfing mates' jokes.
Yeah,
and this guy makes me laugh more than anybody out there. He's the guy that's got all the "Hey, the squirrel's got two brown eyes," you know, that type of thing.
Yeah,
guy that does all those flip things. This may be the funniest thing ever said to me at Cocoonville.
Uh-huh.
And I was the victim of it. It was a disparaging comment about me. And,
but if it's funny enough, you can normally put it past you because it's for the good of funny, right?
My mobility. So we are settling up the bet after the round of golf, and we're sitting there with maybe 20 guys that are out on the patio getting ready. Everybody's having the post-round beer, and we're getting to, you know, we always wait in great anticipation with, who won the bet for the day? That's what's, and then, you know, one or two beers and home. What a day.
Yes.
And I'm sitting there, and the lady that comes out and brings the beer, lovely Lindsay, the Cocoonville waitress who's out there, and she does a great job.
Is she sassy?
She's young and she's just competent. But
okay, good.
They become, and I don't want to say sassy, but they become indoctrinated rather early to the fact that this is just a bunch of stinky old men that are out there playing golf. And
they don't know
beers.
About the Me Too movement.
No. Check that at the gate, Lindsay.
So here's the line, all right? So I get up, I say, "Hey, I haven't seen Lindsay. Anybody want a beer? I'll go in and tell them that we need some brewskis out here." And they said, "Yeah, go ahead." And I get up out of my chair, and I've been sitting long enough post-round that you know what it's like when I stand up. You've seen me in there, right? You see how I move.
Fred G. Sanford.
It takes a while to get it gets the blood flow and takes a while. And so I said, "I'll go in there right now." And I start gimping over to the door, and the guy in the back of the corner, my buddy Jerry, goes, "No running."
Thank you.
Hey-ho.
Hey-ho.
There you go. Sweet. No running. I told Carla that she liked to fall out. Anyway.
They love it when
fun.
We are made to look stupid, don't they?
Yes, absolutely.
Those
absolutely.
Women. Crazy gals. And,
We do have to start the show here. But I walked over to him after that. It was quiet. And I said, "That's really one of the funniest lines I have ever seen in my life." And then I smacked him right in the temple.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Everywhere I go, people want to talk about politics. People in waiting rooms, people in bars, people in Ubers. Like, these people are extras in the movie that is my life. But they feel like they have speaking parts. I don't need to hear what you got to say. You're not in the credits. I feel like part of the problem is we're too focused on the big issues. Maybe we should start with a small issue we can solve and work our way up to the big issues. Like, here's a small issue. Are we chipping or are we swiping? I feel like we've done a great job of distributing the chip card. I feel like everybody has a computer chip on their card. It's supposed to keep you safe. You know, bad guys, they don't know about computer chips yet. But then you get to the register and they're like, I'm sorry, sir, we're swiping today. Then the next time you try to swipe, they'd be like, whoa, 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 put the chip in. You don't blow this whole place up, you don't put that chip in.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
Remove the card! Live from the Pfeiffer Studios in our nation's capital, this is the Mike O'Mara Show. The Mike O'Mara Show, a worldwide podcast and radio show with loyal listeners who get it. And if you're here, you're in the know. We're on air on demand and heard 24-7 on the new TMOS app. Update it now and get our show all day, every day. You can reach us at 888-920-MORE. That's 888-920-6673. Thought I'd shake it up.
Hey, that is a shake-up.
Yeah, we're on now. Anyway, our show today brought to you by Blue Apron. I love Blue Apron. Carla loves Blue Apron. It's fun and easy for her. It's yummy for me. It's the most amazing variety. It is the better way to cook. They've got vegetarian options. I love it, love it, love it. You're going to love it, too. We were talking to Shannon, beautiful Shannon, yesterday, who loves her Blue Apron as well. What is it, you may ask? Well, let me tell you. Well, go ahead. Well, stop interrupting. Blue Apron delivers fresh, pre-proportioned ingredients and step-by-step recipes right to your door that can be cooked in under 45 minutes. That's the fact, Jack. The menu changes every week based on what's in season, and it's designed by Blue Apron's in-house culinary team. Plus, Blue Apron sends only non-GMO ingredients. Do you know what GMO is? Genetically modified organisms.
That's right.
Okay? They don't mess with that at Blue Apron. And they send you meat with no added hormones. How'd you like some bucatini pasta with broccoli and pecorino cheese?
Yum.
Or Italian-style shrimp and sweet peppers over fragola sharda pasta. Does that whet your appetite? My God, it should. You know you want it. It's the best food in town. Blue Apron is treating our listeners to $30 off their first order if you visit blueapron.com/TMOS. So check out this week's menu and get your $30 off at blueapron.com/TMOS. Blue Apron is a better way to cook, and we thank you. Welcome to the show.
No comment on Rusty Ford's theme song?
Just got paid. Rusty Ford. Friday night. They turned off the electricity at my apartment, but I spent my money. Nan and I.
I forgot about Nan.
Doing it at the bar, doing it standing up at the bar. God, the go-go 80s. Jesus.
Yeah, I don't play this song a lot, but I just wanted to make sure you knew I played it. That's all.
Man, I don't even remember the stories from him. But, I mean, there were stories like, I think it was New Year's Eve. I began the evening with him, had a cocktail, and then we went out to some party. And then he ended up, like, naked at somebody's door at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Didn't he date?
His jaw was sore because he got smacked by somebody. Weird stuff happened. It was just a lot of stuff going on with that guy.
There's one story that we've told on the bonus show that I won't trouble you with here, but I do recall one story. Didn't he date someone who was ostensibly a news person on ABC Radio?
I have no idea. I don't remember.
I think I only he did and screamed
story.
About
the cow story is what I
the story that I remember, and I think you told it to me, is they had a fight in a limo.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. Now, so you said it in you. It was a local. It wasn't a
national
news.
No, not at all. But I mean,
it
she did work.
Person, at, it was perking at a competing radio station,
right? And he
got in a fight with her. And because they were on such horrible terms, he was in the back of a limo and began shouting at the top of his lungs a description of her nether regions and how do I put this? All right. He yelled out the window or on the street to her that, and this is prior. Boy, this is hard. Junior broadcasters, the only reason I'm struggling with this. The reason I'm struggling with this junior broadcasters
I got you.
Is because it just takes a while to formulate this. What he was yelling at the young lady in the heat of battle, and Lord knows no one wants to be around a domestic altercation. No,
and he wanted to win this argument badly.
He was going low in more ways than one. And then, let me just say, when he shouted this on the street, after the initial shock wore off, oh my, did it stick. Oh, my, did we think about it forever after that. And on the street corner, he was yelling at her as they were in the middle of this fight, a term that is used for grooming down there. And it was, but it was not a delicate term.
No,
Well, the first part of it was shaved.
Ah. And you know what? It was yelled at a time that was not on vogue.
That it was not a commonplace. Right.
Oh, now it's just celebrated.
Yeah.
It's,
now it would be a special compliment
in Brazil.
It would have been celebrated in today's vernacular, but
hardwood floors.
It was perhaps a badge of dishonor.
A zero-scaped lawn.
Yeah, he felt screaming it at the top.
He was indicating that she was a woman with a loose state of morality.
That's kind of where he was going. Mm-hmm. And then there are many, many stories.
And she was ahead of her time, really.
Yes. Quite a character back in the day.
It was good fun. Wasn't it good fun?
Yeah. I remember the DJ that was proud. And this is how dumb DJs are.
They really are dumb.
Let me just say, DJ 101, most people that get into the business of DJdom do so. And you could make a case that a lot of professional athletes are the same way. You're men in their early 20s, and you're getting into this business because you think that if you are successful in this business, you will have a good time with the ladies.
Yeah.
That you will get lots of dates, and that is your motivating factor. And that makes for some very strange and just horrendous human beings.
Yeah.
The one that came running in, who was somehow very excited that he had contracted gonorrhea. And I just don't understand why he was saying that. But he looked around because he looked like he was from Middle Earth to start with.
Got it.
And the fact that he contracted this indicated that he actually had a woman choose to be with him carnally.
Yeah, but that's the same thing as if someone came in screaming they were in a car accident as opposed to telling you, I know how to drive.
Did I say the fact is again?
Yes.
Oh, we have the alarm.
All right. Sorry about that.
Did you turn down the birds just a little bit?
Yeah, you got it.
It's so loud.
So it was crickets. It was really something special. Other DJs just did crazy things.
You've worked with some of the best. Who was the guy that would cover the air studio glass with newspaper because he couldn't
TK
be seen?
TK Tom Kent.
Oh, that was TK?
TK Tom Kent liked to be... Think about this abnormal personality. And TK, I believe, is syndicated now. He does a music show.
Yeah, he does an oldie show. Mm-hmm.
And TK... you're on the radio because you want your voice to be heard by thousands of people, but yet you don't want to be seen while your voice is heard by the thousands of people. So what you do when you have a remote broadcast, the one that comes to mind was WAVA was broadcasting live down at the National Christmas Tree.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And we had a mobile studio in a little trailer down there. And the ritual for TK when he would arrive to do his shift would be to put masking tape and album covers over the windows so no one could see him.
Wasn't it like an inflatable music machine that looked like a boombox, but it was sort of like a mobile home that you could broadcast inside?
It was kind of a mobile home.
I have an air check of TK. Do you want to hear what he sounded like when he was on the air?
Yeah, let's listen to TK.
All right, here we go. TK, Tom Kent.
All Hit 105, WAVA, presenting Beltway Busters. Disgusting, ridiculous things to do while driving home on the Beltway. Right now, I want you to pound your fist on the dashboard and beat with the music. Go ahead, don't be shy. Go ahead. Harder. Harder. Go ahead. Harder. Oh, no. I think you hit it too hard. Tell you what, hit it one more time, please. I'm getting nervous now. Hit it one more time right up there. Go ahead. Oh, yeah. WAVA.
Hi, TK. I was wondering if you could play some party music from Prince. We're having a big party in Georgetown.
Where's the party at?
It's in Georgetown.
Come on, tell me. We want to get everybody over there.
We already got a lot of people here.
Oh, yeah? Let me hear them.
We want to hear I Would Die For You.
And who would you die for?
TK, WAVA.
Man, you know what? You know what?
That's let me such tell you a great what. Station,
I'm here busting
man.
This guy's balls. This guy's a top shelf.
He's
DJ.
The maze.
No, he's not.
No, he is a hack.
No, he was not.
Oh, my. He had a friend in Georgetown call in. How are you having your party?
No, that was a nighttime DJ. He was great.
Oscar's too young.
You could put that guy up against Tommy McFly and he'd blow him out of the water right now. My God.
He's definitely home.
The era of the top 40 jock sort of predates you a little bit, where that could sound hackish, I guess, to you.
Yes.
But WAVA had that energy 24 hours a day, and that's why it was the station that you never turned off.
That was a you know, they used the term flamethrower. That was a fun radio station to be a part of. And here I am, but these guys had quirks.
Yeah,
I remember. Nuts. Remember Shadow Smith? Shadow Smith. We walk into Shadow Smith, and I think Don told the story about seeing Shadow, who was a very moody guy.
Yeah,
super moody and super dark. And he walked in and said, "Hey, Shadow, how you doing today?" And Shadow takes his fingers like this with his thumb and his forefinger and goes, "I'm so depressed." The only other thing about TK, slide light on TK, is that we used to have station conclaves where we'd have dinner meetings and stuff like that. And when we'd have a party, if it was a party where food was served, the bit was we'd all kind of go off to the side and watch TK eat, because he ate like a hyena that was
a DJ trait, I think. A lot of DJs are like that.
Oh, and free food with DJs?
Oh, yeah.
Free anything with DJs. Mm-hmm. You got that disease early on when you got into the radio
game,
Rob.
Were you a man of larger carriage before you got into radio?
Rob was not a messy eater. What Rob got into immediately and to this day thrives on it is freebies, his station freebie. Nobody got more free stuff or hoarded more free stuff than Rob Spiewak at the radio station.
But in my defense, when you talk about eating, and I think this is because I always have been fat, I've not been an eater because I didn't want people to see
me. Got it.
And we've discussed that.
Yeah, secretly.
Yeah, I eat secretly in the darkness
of
night.
Rob, like, at the end of one of the Christmas parties, and he'd be kind of like putting stuff in a satchel, just so he could eat it in the car. That was
emergency ham.
Never drove. I did wake up after one Christmas party. I think I had like 3 fire extinguishers and 2 plants in my hotel room. I don't know how they get. Oh, and big jars of decorative fruit. I said to Carrie, "How did you get the?" I said, "How did we get these up here?" She says, "In your pants." Okay.
The fire. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
In the history of you raiding prize closets.
Yeah.
In the or any prize of any kind that was not going to find its way into the hands of a listener.
Yeah.
What is the greatest freebie?
I know it
in
without
the history of freebies.
Without even thinking, I know what it was, and I got it the week before Julia was born. So it's December of 2000. Tammy Sachs was running promotions then, like the greatest promotions girl ever.
Yes, she
woman.
Was the best. She was the best I ever
She was with. The greatest. And there was something I'd been watching in the prize closet, and she said I could have it. It was a $2,000 Duquesne gas grill.
Wow. I think I got an Xbox once.
That's pretty good.
You got a $2,000 gas grill?
$2,000 gas grill beats an Xbox.
Yeah,
like stainless steel and all
it
that
was,
kind of stuff?
It was red enamel, but it was the top of the line Duquesne, and I used it for, 10 years. It was great.
And I think I got that Xbox because they missed the paycheck. They're like,
instead of a paycheck?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, listen, these are exceptions to the rule. You have to know your way around a prize closet because, by and large, you would have something along the lines of, Debbie Gibson's greatest hits that would sit there gathering dust for 400 years.
Yeah,
with
a hole punch in the middle corner.
Yeah, exactly. To make sure that it wasn't resold.
Right.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
There's also a rumor, and if you have any Hoobastank, which you probably don't, but you might.
I might have some.
If you can find some, if you don't mind. There's a rumor that Schmigmo and Schmooks would go and...
we don't talk about them much.
They would get artists to come to their show because it was night and no artist that's in town ever wants to go to a night show. An evening show is a throwaway show, right?
Right.
But we would get them there by it's essentially telling the record duck, as you would say, Mike, that we'll give them free stuff. So since I worked in the promotions department and was on air because I did 10 jobs for
you
the same
the
price.
Freebies.
So I remember the time when Hoobastank came in before their 9:30 show, and they each walked away with an Xbox. And I was like, here you go, guys.
Wow.
Thanks for coming by.
That's pretty good.
Was it really worth it?
Because they were the biggest band in the world at the time.
Okay.
Everybody was playing The Reason.
Yeah.
And they weren't going to the morning show, and they weren't going to the afternoon show. So I called the record duck, and I said, hey, there may be 2 Xboxes that might be ready to go if you guys came on the show.
By the way, did you see what he did there? You know, he doesn't even know it because he's that good a broadcaster. He's that decent a broadcaster to his listening audience. What he did, and this is where he differs from you or I.
Yeah.
He actually did this for the good of his listeners, for the good of his
right.
show. Mm-hmm. He wasn't taking a $2,000 gas grill like you did.
Right.
He was doing this for the listeners. That's
right.
what
for
he was
the show.
Doing.
Thank you, Mike.
However,
for the show, my God. Unbelievable.
I would grill a burger for a listener on that $2,000 gas grill.
Bring it in the morning.
I would. Here you are. Hoobastank. Do you like hot dogs? Here's hot dogs.
Might want to reheat this one in the microwave.
Give it a zap or two, but it's tasty.
And by the way, I realize that radio stations don't have the corner on the market of nasty refrigerators, but I have to say that at a radio station, there were science projects that were in our refrigerator that I couldn't believe it. I dreaded ever having to put anything or go anywhere near that refrigerator. Mm.
I have an example. We had a client come on once that was hot for a while. I don't even think they're around anymore, called Milwaukee Frozen Custard. And when they did the rollout for the buy, they brought gallons and gallons of ice cream for the staff to enjoy. Of
Milwaukee's
course.
Milwaukee's best.
Maybe you're right. I believe you may be right.
I think it was Milwaukee's best custard.
And so they brought too much. So what everyone did is when it was
had a location in Manassas, Rob.
They shoveled all of these quarts.
I may have gone there on a regular basis.
Into the WJFK freezer, which was probably, by my estimate, set at between 32 and 33 degrees. So over the next weeks, the ice cream would melt and refreeze and melt and refreeze and melt and refreeze and ooze out of the cartons. There was a time when you couldn't open the freezer. It was a top freezer deal, and it was stuck because it had been frozen shut
with
goo.
Oh, no.
And you had to put a knee and pull to open the freezer, but God forbid anyone would clean it.
Yeah,
just gallons of melted ice cream.
Nothing will beat the WAVA refrigerator, though. It was amazing.
I can imagine.
Yeah, well, we actually for many, many months we had Smoky River's head in there.
Oh,
it was wonderful. Yeah,
peppered vodka,
right next to the peppered vodka. Yeah, Smoky's head. Well, is that a real head?
Yeah,
it's a Smoky's head.
If you're having trouble breathing,
if you've been decapitated, check out the WAVA refrigerator. My head's in there. I'll do your shift.
Anyway, we'll take a break. We'll come back. That was a nice trip down memory
lane. I like that,
Take another break, and we'll be right back on the Mike O'Mara Show.
This week on the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show.
What is in your refrigerator right now?
Ketchup, two kinds of mustard. We have mayonnaise. We have soy sauce. We have sriracha. We have Texas Pete hot sauce. And we also have Tabasco.
It's like a restaurant.
I know we have some roast turkey from the deli and a package of bologna. We have some American cheese. We have provolone cheese. We have butter, salted and unsalted. They're both great.
The last time I asked for a sandwich.
I'm not done. We have a ham. We have a tray of scalloped potatoes that are ready to go at any time.
Did you say you have a ham?
It's a small ham, yes.
You have a small ham in your refrigerator.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the emergency ham.
It's the emergency ham.
The Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Because 5 hours a week just ain't enough. Always available at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
That's worth tuning in right there, isn't it?
That's not even the best part of the bonus show.
Oh, no, it's not. Hey, everybody, it's okay to be dumb, but don't be stupid. Lots of people are dumb about the world of interest rates, mortgages, and refinancing. That's okay, but if you don't find someone who can look out for your best financial interest, that's stupid. That's why you need the guys at Cornerstone First Financial. You see, unlike us, they're smart. They know their stuff and they genuinely care about you. Whether it's a refi or getting pre-approved to buy a home, Cornerstone First Financial will advise you and make sure that you get the best deal possible. Just ask Oscar or the whole Santana family. These guys are our friends.
Yes.
And if you're smart enough to call them, they're going to be your friends too. Click the banner ad on our website or call Cornerstone First Financial 202-625-1221. Mention TMOS and receive a free appraisal at closing. That's cornerstonefirst.com/TMOS or call 202-625-1221. Personal attention from application to closing, licensed in Maryland, D.C., Virginia, and Florida. Be smart!
Smart!
With Cornerstone First Financial, people. It's a milestone in our house because we are selling the pirate ship bed that my son has been in for the last couple of years.
How? So. What venue are you using to sell it? Are you using like an online thing?
Facebook.
Or Facebook? That's good.
Yeah, she's selling it on Facebook.
Let me go check it out right now.
Yeah, she's got some offers.
Will you be taking a loss or has it appreciated?
Oh, my God. We'll take a loss. I'm sure. I'm sorry. You know, you take a loss.
What about
and stuff like
Celebrity
that.
Built?
That's right.
Maybe I could be like Jack Diamond with my special car. Put a plaque inside. Said Jack Diamond.
This Corvette was driven by a disc jockey.
Yes, sure. So it's sad. This is the first moment.
Sad.
Believe it or not, this is the first moment where he's going from the little kid bed to the full size bed, and it's going to be sad to see that go.
We went through
that
the same
bed
thing
together.
Yeah, we had a Robert's first big boy bed was a bunk bed that under it was a desk and dresser drawers.
I love that combo.
You know what I mean?
That's cool. Yeah, I had that for one of
my
daughters.
There are like 30 of these online. What, 150? Is that what it's
yes,
going
yeah, exa- I think that's exactly
yeah,
what
yeah,
I'm
yeah,
selling
I gotcha.
For. 150.
Are you going to have to be responsible for the disassemble?
Hope not. Hope somebody comes by with a pickup truck and just throws it into their back.
Is it able to be carried in one piece?
I think you could carry it.
Here
more.
It is.
Okay.
It's really not that. It's
plastic. You're going to have to take the sail off.
Yeah.
The sail's easy. Just slide that right out. We should be good with that.
What about this?
Probably a year ago. He hasn't been in this bed.
No, not a long time.
One last maiden voyage. Right behind your house is a little moat.
I don't think it's seaworthy, Oscar.
I think it would probably, because it's in pieces, it would probably not float. But it is made of plastic. It truly is. Now, we've got the pool, and wouldn't the Cocoonville neighbors like that? They would really,
well, what
really
you need to
it.
Do
with
is
the pirate inside waving his sword.
Oh, how about me?
How about just me lounging.
And I put the flag, and it's just like, doing about 10 o'clock on a Saturday night. Arr!
You're
Who
out
wants
there?
To fight me, neighbors?
I can see you laying in the bed with your legs hanging over either side.
Yes.
With a margarita. Hey, no, it's not true. It's not bedtime yet.
Yes, I'm Captain Tequila.
You would have to caulk the seams. I think it would float if you were to somehow seal the seams.
Well, you know what? Based on Mrs. O'Mara's desires, you know, we only do that about once a month, caulking the seams.
Hey, but I want to tell you, in my pants.
Oh, the audience is shocked at that. Yes,
well, it is tax season, Mike.
Yeah, it is.
Pay your
it
taxes.
Is the tax. But anyway, it's sad, and he's just, you know.
Is he sad to see it go? Does he care?
She spun it with him.
He doesn't know, though.
She goes into that frenzy of the new furniture buying, you know, women with the there you go again, hit the misogyny alarm for me.
Really?
Women with new furniture purchases.
Yeah, they don't have to pay for
it. You know, and brings it out and she looks at me and says, 0% financing again. Yeah, okay, we're going to 0% finance. We're going to 0% finance ourselves into the poorhouse. Am I right, ladies?
But I want to tell you.
When someone tells me 0% financing, I sit there and say, I'm still paying for it.
Yeah, it's not like it's free.
It's not free.
It's not free at all. But it's just, the pain is postponed. And if the pain is postponed, I am happy with that. And look, with Carla, I just happy wife, happy life. And as far as I'm concerned now, I asked her yesterday and I've asked her again today because she failed in her task yesterday to get the peanut butter cups out of the house. Get the peanut butter cups out of the house.
You had one job, Carla. Get them out of the house.
I come home last night and yesterday afternoon. Last
From evening, golfing?
In between. In between.
Sure.
And daddy comes home.
No running.
And what the hell did I have for dinner?
A margarita.
I forgot what I had. I had
olives.
Little rice and beans. Little vegan rice, little bean action. Now, here's where I blew it. So I ask, thank you very much. I've got one in a machine. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I come home and Carla is in a frenzy preparing Michael's room to take pictures of the pirate bed on Facebook and send them out to the world. So
because you have to make room for the king-size waterbed that he's getting.
Yes, and hopefully get a financial windfall at the same time. Mucho exciting. So she's taking pictures of this bed, and she's very, very busy. And so I make my own little rice and beans. And
right.
Then afterwards, just out of curiosity, I do what I call an FF. Which is a food forage.
Okay.
Where I just wander around and I notice that she has taken all the iguana mia fatty stuff out of the refrigerator, and it's gone. It's been thrown in the trash.
For your
good
best
job.
For your and best then, work, yeah.
Why this do I picture way- Gargamel going around the Smurf Village? Like, pulling up every Smurf Village
come
mushroom
Ezreal.
Roof.
Well, there must be a fajita here somewhere.
Right. All I know is I look at the refrigerator, go, okay, she's removed everything that's fatty, so
right.
Daddy so will not funny. Be having another dinner of nachos.
Yes.
That will not be my dinner tonight, okay? So I have the healthy dinner, and then after dinner's done, I'm sitting there watching, you know, Hope Hicks' story on the news. Yeah,
you'll get to that in way. Political persuasions.
Yes, political persuasions. We will be talking about Hope Hicks resigning. Hope Hicks, yes. Hope Hicks, maybe when she's got some time now, if she goes back into the D.C. area, she can drive down to Route 50 through Annapolis, and Hope Hicks can stop by the Whitehall Inn and enjoy some of Whitehall's fabulous Hope Hicks fruit fritters. But anyway.
She's got nothing but time.
So I go and I look at the fridge. Everything's gone.
Yeah.
And I have my little rice and beans. Very, very responsible.
Are you disappointed as you're eating the R&B?
You know what? I'm not thrilled, but I'm...
It's not fulfilling.
And I'm also not saying to myself that I'm satisfied.
No.
I am saying to myself, this is rice, this is beans, this is back to reasonable eating. And after I finish, if I would just wait 20 minutes, I would be fine.
Right.
But I don't wait 20 minutes. And
no, you're in the danger zone.
I get out of my Barco lounger and I decide, okay, I know there's nothing in the refrigerator, but let's slide over to the cabinet.
Ah,
the food cabinet.
As they would say up north, you're going to hit the larder.
I'm going to go in and take a peek, and I look on the first shelf, and it doesn't take me but 1 second to look and see what's on the second shelf.
She hit him.
Yeah. We had a story about this in the news.
Brainy Smurf.
Mm-hmm. It's a surprise. Jokey Smurf.
God, that's loud. I still couldn't. Reese's peanut butter cups. Now,
are they the minis? Are they the regulars?
They're the minis.
Four cups.
Oh,
they're the minis. They're the minis. Now, listen, I'm going to take you through the process of a food addict, a person that has a problem with food. This is a true story, and I am revealing my horrible, damaged soul to all of our listeners right now because this is a true story.
I will not interrupt you, but please note as I link up with you on this story, and I know I will relate, I will nod viciously.
This is what happened. Carla is in the front of the house, and she is really, really busy. She's really tackling this bedroom, and she's getting it ready to take pictures and getting it ready to move out the bed and bring that. Let me turn that down. And she's going crazy. And I realize I have to make an educated decision here. I said, okay, she's busy enough. Because, by the way, Carla will hear me if I do this. If you hear this, she'll say, what are you getting? And she can be 6 miles away.
She cares for you.
She's tuned to the sound of foil.
But the counterpoint here is that I have paid attention to her tells. I can tell when she's super absorbed with a task that she's not going to be thinking about me and what I'm putting in my mouth. So I have what I would describe as the Reese's peanut butter cup opportunity.
Ah,
and I said,
foil.
There's only this is the best way I can do it. Now they're the minis, and they're in a Ziploc bag from where we took them off the party platter. And that's right, you come to the O'Mara's house and you have Reese's peanut butter cups that are lying out. That's a
yeah,
good party.
That's a great
booze
party.
And peanut butter cups. So I take them by the handful and I begin to put them in my pocket. And the play is going to be that I'm going to take them back over to the easy chair. And by the way, if you're going to sneak a candy, the Reese's peanut butter cup candy, the minis, are the best in the world. Let me tell you why.
Why?
Because you can mainline them. You can stuff them into your mouth. And then when you're done with a few of them, you can make ball up a fist and you can make them 1/10 of their previous size.
Chocolate.
Oh, foil.
No, but chocolate.
The foil. Yes, the foil.
Chocolate yes. In your pocket is not good.
That's not going to be there that long. You're not. I know you're okay. Worrying about...
Although that sounds like a great album title.
Oscar,
chocolate in your pocket.
You're worrying about melting? Don't worry. They're not going to linger that long.
No.
I swear to God, there will be no melting with these. So I sit down and I got them in both pockets.
Yes.
And I
how many
start
total
to eat
do you
them.
Think?
Huh?
How many total
Jesus Christ,
do you think?
Rob, I thought I was going to pass. I passed out after I ate them. So, I mean, it was just a...
I mean, do we have an excess of 20?
Like 13?
Now you're going to make... You know, I'm going to reveal them myself, but you...
Six
you
and
know,
seven?
Fatty McFadigan, I'm not going to give you a number because I don't know.
I understand. Now,
it's embarrassing.
If the shoe was on the other foot, you would ask me.
I'd want to know the numbers. There were
multiple. Wait, jeans or golf trousers?
Golf trousers?
I was wearing golf shorts. I had golf shorts.
You know, larger shorts for the balls?
Yes.
Yeah.
So think about the balls absolutely. Fitting inside
that's
the actual
right. I
pocket.
I got them right down
but
near
that's,
my balls.
That's up it. Front.
No. But think about it. Tees and balls go in golf right. shorts.
Hey, man, tees and balls. Pocket in your chocolate.
Anyway, she is in the bedroom. She's working. And I'm going 1,000, 2,000. I'm stuffing. And boy, it was such a thrill. Because you've got the thrill of the theft.
Sure.
And yeah. And not knowing.
It's
and
so then, taboo.
And so what happened was that she didn't come out. I was not only able to ingest the peanut butter cups, but then ball the foil up and make it to the trash. She has no idea.
Oh,
and I went back.
Mike, I have the music of while you were eating. I have the sound of while you were eating the actual peanut butter cups.
Do you turn up the volume?
No, yeah, oh, good point.
Anything I didn't do. What I try to do is remain motionless.
Ah.
Which is not a hard thing for me to do when I'm in.
Silencio.
And I knock him back, and then I take the little ball of foil.
Right.
And I put it in the trash. She doesn't even know.
Do you put it under something?
Fine. No, I put the
foil.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah. I took the foil, and I stick it down into the mid part of the trash. Yes,
right.
I have to wash my hands.
I do the same thing.
So I did that. So I snuck it under there, and then. I would have been fine, but I said, I think I saw a tiny little bite-sized pack of cashews that were there. And maybe it's the nut thing. Maybe the nut thing. And that's when I got caught. That's when I... So I sat
you
there
went
and I
back
took
out, for seconds.
You got
I went
guilty.
Back,
you
not
got
for peanut butter cups, just the cashews.
A different
I got
sack.
Greedy.
That I
you got
salty.
Greedy, Mike. You got
right.
greedy.
And this time I got to the pantry and she comes around the corner... Is there something wrong here?
Ah!
I said, what? You're not going to eat those, are you? I said, there's just a little bit. And then I got lippy with her because I thought if I caved, she'd know.
Got to go on the offensive.
You're also in the sugar
rush. I said,
Carla,
it's just the last part of this bag. No problem. And I ate those. And then within 10 minutes, I lost consciousness. I lost complete and total consciousness. That's it. That's my little story. Thank you. That's
do you
the fat
freeze
story
your
day.
Cups or do you like them room temperature?
These were not frozen. And by the way, if they were frozen, I probably would have gone into a diabetic coma because I would have not. Back
frozen
all
cups
so
are
amazing.
The
yeah.
best.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I don't even know if they've been removed yet. They still might be there. Lunch. We'll take a break and come back with more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hola, Oscar.
¿Cómo estás, Miguel?
Muy bien. Hey, enough of this Spanish. Let me tell everybody that even though the summer's over, you can still hear the Mike O'Mara Show Monday through Friday right here on 97.1 The Wave, your beach station. That's for whether you speak Spanish or English. Am I right, Oscar?
Sí.
Join us every weeknight on 97.1 The Wave.
Tu estación para la playa.
That means your beach station.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Lightstream. What if you could combine your credit card balances into one low, fixed monthly statement? Wait no longer. Let me tell you about Lightstream's credit card consolidation loan. With Lightstream, you get a credit card consolidation loan with a fixed interest rate as low as 5.49 APR with an auto pay feature. You could save thousands of dollars in interest on loans from $5,000 to $100,000 with no fees. Check out your credit card rates. They're ridiculous. This is something you need to do. See your interest rates before you apply. Lightstream prides itself on full transparency. Your application is 100% online. online. They make it easy. And LightStream is a division of SunTrust Bank. That's a biggie. So you can be confident that you're working with one of the nation's largest and strongest financial institutions out there. Apply today and get an additional interest rate discount on top of LightStream's already low rates. The only way for our listeners with good credit to get this special interest rate discount is to go to LightStream.com/TMOS. That's LightStream.com/TMOS. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.5% auto pay discount, available only when you select auto pay prior to loan funding. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit LightStream.com for important information about limits on LightStream loans and same-day funding. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. Is anybody motivated for the Oscars at all?
Excited for the death reel.
The death reel? Yeah, but I mean, are you going to sit through the whole thing?
I'll probably watch the open and then TiVo it or DVR it and then check it out the next day.
Has anybody seen The Shape of Water, by the way, the big favorite?
Looks like the worst movie I've ever seen.
And I think Hollywood Reporter says it's going to win. They think it's the odds-on winner for Best Picture.
The Post should win. Oh, by the way, creepy fact that I tell you, I actually ran to see, I'm a creep this way. I love The Post so much that Catherine Graham's house is in Georgetown, right?
Right, sure.
And I wanted to know if it was still there and if it still looked like it did in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same home.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
It's the same home, brick front, right?
Mm-hmm.
Same home with a gravel driveway. Which I thought was interesting.
They might have sort of backdated it for the movie, and maybe they haven't updated it yet. Well, I can't imagine anyone would still have a gravel driveway.
It's a light pebbled gravel driveway. And when I remember when Tom Hanks runs up in The Post, this is not a spoiler alert, he runs to the house.
Crunch, crunch, crunch.
And I was like, why pebblestone?
Not far away from you, right? Three blocks away. Beautiful.
Whose house is bigger?
Oh, come on, please. I don't even have a driveway. I walk up, and it looks like they would have filmed the movie on location in front of that house.
Here's the thing about Georgetown. Georgetown is perfect for a period piece like anything, because the houses haven't changed for 50, 100 years. They still have the same refrigerator. But the thing about Shape of Water, correct me if I'm wrong, it's a monster creature from the Black Lagoon that lives in a bucket or something like that.
A tank of water,
It's like Hellboy underwater, I've been told. I think Chad Dukes told me that.
And the woman doesn't talk, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right. She's mute, and she develops a love affair with the creature. I'm sorry. I have to have a little shred of credibility for me to really dig him up.
I agree.
I'm not sure. Even with Jimmy Kimmel, I'll probably end up looking in on it, but I don't get any sense this year. In years past, you've had multiple films, and there's controversies. Who's going to win? Diversity, all this stuff. There doesn't seem to be this year.
The Post should win.
I think the one story that is poised to be a story is if Get Out walks away with some awards. Because then you have diversity, and then you also have the rare thing of a horror movie, a real popcorn flick for Best Picture.
Get Out was fine, but it was an Academy Award.
I don't think it was an Academy Award. It blew my mind.
I don't think so.
It has a shot, and here's why. With the new format of 10 nominees for Best Picture, it splits the vote up. It really splinters it. Let's do this.
Let's stop the show right now, and let's bring our film critic, Mac from Film Dumpster.
Well, the dumpster part is right.
Remember the guy that called yesterday?
Rob beat me to that one. That's it. And you did it better than I would have. Let's go. Mac, let me say. Oh, gosh. I got to get my dumpster right now, please. Mac.
Yes.
How many movies that are nominated have you seen, my friend?
I actually only saw two.
You're not doing a good job as a movie guy.
What do you have?
Which ones have I seen? I saw Dunkirk and The Post.
Oh, we've seen those, Mike.
I didn't care for Dunkirk.
I saw Dunkirk in the theater. It was too loud and too long, and they didn't explain what was happening.
And it meandered.
Yes.
It meandered from plot line to plot line. I was totally confused. That should not win. The Post. Oscar recommended that for me. I thought it was fantastic. I was all in. By the way, the acting, and no bulletin here that you got Tom Hanks and Meryl Streep.
Was she good in that? Finally? something for her?
Something. You know, it's been so long. She gets nominated for no reason.
I know. Yawn City, really baby. Good.
So you didn't see The Shape of Water. That would be kind of a sci-fi thing that I think you should see, Mac.
I did not. I mean, the trailers did not interest me whatsoever on that.
Trailers didn't interest me either. I didn't have any desire.
Darkest
to
Hour.
He's talking about it.
I've watched. I paid for $21.99 because I'm a rube. I watched The Darkest Hour. It is phenomenal.
Don't spoil it. Don't spoil it for me because
we win, Mike.
Now, by the way, pay-per-view.
Spoiler alert.
Pay-per-view. Yeah, this is a new thing they're doing on my DirecTV pay-per-view where they say, buy it early. What the F is that about?
Okay, so it's new to you, but not the rest of the world. Let me just make that clear. Because
what is it?
It's new to you, but not the rest of the world, because DirecTV didn't used to do this. But I would say that Xfinity and Apple TV, forever, a week or 2 weeks before you can rent the movie, you can buy the movie, right?
Okay. All right.
So,
advanced access for a premium fee.
So if you feel like you deserve it because you do everything and your wife never has yogurt in her fridge, you will pay $21.99.
This is like Pulp Fiction because a lot of these jokes are going to make sense after you hear the bonus show.
I seriously would love to see the Gary Oldman Winston Churchill movie. I'd like to see it because he's nominated for Best Actor.
So
right?
I said,
will he be as good as Lithgow?
I said, Peach.
Probably.
I'm going to buy this movie and it's probably not for you. She goes, do you think I'm dumb and I don't want to see this? I said, no, I just don't think this is.
Who said I'm dumb?
Did she watch it with you?
I said, I don't think any of those things. So I ordered it and then she went and took a bath. And then I was like, this is, I know you.
That was like my house.
I'm gonna sit down by myself and I'm going to watch this by myself. Right. Mike, you are going to love it. And
really?
I'll
get it tonight.
Darkest Hour gives you a better explanation than Dunkirk gave about Dunkirk.
Yeah, really? I think that, because Darkest Hour is, and Gary Oldman's a phenomenal actor. He's the greatest Dracula in the history of Draculas. Yep. The man knows dialects, he can do it, and he is a British actor, so I think that'll be fantastic.
If you do not like this movie, I don't know how we're going to continue being friends. Because I would have called you to come over and watch it. Let's splurge.
So, and don't make it a negative thing, Oscar.
How much did you pop for the whole movie to see it early?
$21.99.
You really went the whole way with $21.99. Okay, it's worth it. I'll do it.
Cheaper than two movie tickets.
You know what? Why not? I'll dive in. But still, overall, the whole thing, even with the only thing that'll get me to turn on the tube and watch. By the way, if I like Darkest Hour, I might root for Gary Oldman. I might watch it anyway.
Oh, I think you will.
Jimmy Kimmel usually can deliver.
Yeah, he does.
As the host. So I'll be doing that. And Rob, unfortunately, I know you won't care about it because Gone with the Wind is not nominated for this show.
What about Three Billboards?
As I said before, and I said this earlier,
and they weren't digital billboards.
A guy originally agreed with me right after I recommended this movie. I said, this is the best movie with the worst ending you will see in a very, very long time. And Three Billboards, if it had had a Hollywood kind of ending or even a dark ending, even any ending at all, I would have been happy with it, but it didn't, and I think that's going to hurt it, but that was not... I did see that movie.
No one is saying that for Best Picture, but what do you think about Frances McDormand for actress?
1,000%. She's
good.
Phenomenal.
I love
She's
her.
She's absolutely phenomenal. Well, here we are talking about the Oscars. The 90th, I'm getting excited about it.
It's the 90th Academy Awards. I'm going over Mama Santana's house with my wife Shannon and Santos. Mm-hmm. We'll be sitting there. My mom will leave us and go upstairs and watch by herself because it's what she does.
Is there a Spanish feed?
No, there is not.
El Oscars.
And we will watch it in the main living room and have our own little Oscars party because that's what mom likes to do. So
does more- she like to watch the Oscars?
She likes to yell down.
How do you think he got his name?
Enough said.
His full name is Academy.
That's right.
Academy Santana. Do we have an Academy Santana over here? You know. Well, I'll look forward to sitting in front of the tube and watching my Oscars with a big, pocket full of peanut butter cups. It should be.
Do you think they'll cook up another fake controversy this year, like the mixed up envelopes?
Do you think the Me Too thing will be a thing at the
end? Enough.
Don't say, hit the alarm for him. No, you don't say enough.
You wore the black dresses last time. We noticed.
Hey, do you think people are going to be avoiding Ryan Seacrest on the red carpet?
They're talking about that. You might
He's getting a lot of heat.
Yeah.
You might be stealing my news you may not need.
Oh, then I withdraw the remark.
Sources, yeah, how dare the same you. Source material before
how,
we did
how
the
dare
show.
You?
Yes, it's in the middle of, yeah, the Ryan Seacrest thing apparently is growing hair, but I'll have details on that coming up. So
Ryan is also growing hair.
Yes, he's growing hair.
For the first
there.
Time. For the yeah. first time. Good Should job,
very
Ryan.
Very special. We'll take a break. We'll come back with news you may not need right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. Dumpster. We'll be right back.
The Mike O'Mara Show is made possible by contributions from the Cappy Pfeiffer Foundation, Charles and Barbara Moody, the Stephen D. McIntyre Charitable Trust, the Oscar F. Santana Scholarship Program, Pony Boys Club of Fairfax, the Chubbuck Feuerbach Dinner Club Foundation, and by the generous support of listeners like you who have purchased a bonus show package and have shopped through the Amazon portal at MikeOMaraShow.com. Thank you.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by our bonus packages. Do you like good stories? For example, what about the mysterious tale of the antique refrigerator that was always empty? Or the heartbreaking saga of the little boy who was conceived out of wedlock at a drive-in movie and didn't find out for 25 years? Or how about the thrilling yarn of the child in the claw machine? Or the mind-bending story of the missing maple syrup caper? You can hear all of these stories, just like cereal, and so much more, if you subscribe to the TMOS Bonus Show. For pennies a day, you can be in the know. Nicely done. Yes, friends, one simple click at the TMOS website and you're all set. Just click the bonus show banner at MikeOMaraShow.com. You'll get access to all our bonus content and you'll be helping us. We appreciate it. Plus, we say swear words. Plus, quit sucking. Plus, start listening. That's a fact. No, the fact is, that's what I was trying to say. Listen to our wondrous parables that will improve your life. The Mike O'Mara Show. Don't blow it, people.
Yeah.
Okay? You blew it.
News.
So now when I discard my copy so as to create more room in my wastebasket, I fold the paper just like so, you see? See how I'm doing that?
Yeah.
And then I toss it into the trash.
You should crumble it up like a Reese's wrapper.
Isn't that marvelous? Hooray for me! Anyway.
Hey, Mike, well done.
Thank you. NBC Universal will cut the number, this is a big story, will cut the number of commercials in prime time by 20% on all their networks beginning this fall.
Yes.
Bam. That's it. They just made the announcement.
Yeah.
Wow.
They say this will reduce the overall ad time by about 10%. In addition to NBC, their stations include Telemundo, USA, MSNBC, E! And Bravo. Obviously, this is a direct reaction to streaming services like Netflix, Amazon, and Hulu, which give people the option of watching without any commercials at all. NBC is trying out some new things to compensate for the loss, of course. You know, they're going to try to get you, including introducing special 60-second ads that are specifically tailored for shows and audiences. Also, the change is only for first-run episodes. What, so, the change is only like the commercials are only for the first run?
That makes sense because reruns would be already formatted for the other time clock schedule.
So if, once you get into syndication, it doesn't matter.
Right.
All right. The ad time for repeats will not change. Well, hey, that's good. I'm good
But bully, no, think about this.
Yes.
You have less of an inventory of ads, right? You can charge more to make up that money. But your audience is not essentially forgetting about the ads because they say, we'll DVR it and fast forward through every ad because there's so many of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're responding to the market.
Which is smart.
Yeah, it is smart.
They should be running more commercials than This Is Us. This week's was the worst episode yet.
You're still with it?
I'm still with it.
Is he still dead?
Yeah, he's still dead. And they Toby had his bachelor party in Vegas.
Oh,
have we found out how the dad died yet?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It was related to a fire in their home.
It was a fire. We all knew that from way back.
Spoiler alert. He survived the initial fire, but he had to get the family dog. So he went back for the dog. The dog survives. He dies.
That's right.
Oh, it's so sweet. Isn't that nice and fuzzy?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's the way they do it. Hey, we talked about it a minute ago, the Ryan Seacrest story. The Ryan Seacrest sexual harassment scandal not going away. In fact, it seems to be picking up steam. And with the Oscars happening on Sunday, not a good thing for the E! Network.
No.
So far, they're not backing down from having Ryan host their red carpet coverage as usual. But there have been reports that some Hollywood publicists plan on steering their clients away from Ryan Seacrest. Jennifer Lawrence actually said she's not sure what she's going to do, but she has other problems with E! Besides Ryan. I'm not sure what the details
are. Kat Sadler wasn't getting paid enough money.
Okay. Thank you. Sources say
That is a true story. I read an article about that.
You know what? Really? If you name yourself Kat Sather, you don't deserve
Sadler.
Whatever, Kat.
She was one of the main anchors on their evening show, right?
And
she
why does Jennifer Lawrence have a problem?
She
with
found it? Out that her co-host was getting paid three to four times as much as she was. And wow. Jennifer Lawrence, by the way, is part of this Me Too movement.
Yes.
Where women should be paid equally as their male counterparts.
Okay, well, I thought the Me Too movement was more like sexual harassment.
Well, you know what? If they got organized, this wouldn't be so blurry.
All right. Sources get the alarm.
Just in case.
Sources say E! Has been in crisis mode trying to figure out how to navigate this mess. One of their solutions is to prearrange Ryan's interviews with stars he's friendly with, so there are no surprises. Meanwhile, another former co-worker says he witnessed Ryan being sexually inappropriate with his accuser, Susie Hardy. He says that more than once, as Susie was tying Ryan's shoes, he saw Ryan push her head towards his crotch.
Aww.
So I don't know. I don't know how many
reminds me of stories. A Friends episode.
And why isn't he tying his own shoes?
Yes, I think that's harassment in and of itself. The New York Daily News reran an article from 1991 where Donald Trump talked about confronting a guy who was beating another man with a baseball bat. Trump allegedly saw the attack from his limo and ordered the driver to pull over. He told the Daily News, quote, "The guy with the bat looked at me and said, I said to him, 'Look, you got to stop this. Put down the bat.'" And then the guy ran away, according to Trump.
I
believe it.
That sounds exactly like something would happen like that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was was never reported to the cops, by the way.
White lies.
But the Daily News talked to two witnesses who gave different accounts.
Yeah.
One of the accounts says Trump yelled at the guy to put the bat down, and he did. And then he went over and started talking to Trump. Another account said Trump did get out to check things, but when the guy with the bat was already gone. So the Trump quote just looked around and went back into his limo.
Today Show, Trump said that he got out, the guy shot his parents, and when he grew up, he became Batman. So I don't know.
Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, where is the truth? I don't know.
A couple in the UK recently posted on a website for childcare professionals looking to hire someone else to explain the birds and the bees to their kids. So they don't have to do it. And they're offering just under $3,500 for it.
Wow.
They want a licensed childcare professional, and they want them to cover a range of topics, including sex, gay sex, STDs, condoms, consent, male and female anatomy, periods, and pregnancy, as well as transgender and non-binary gender identities.
I know who could handle this job for them, and his name is Dumpster.
Dumpster, yes. Mike McIntosh available. Here's the kicker. They have two kids, a son and a daughter, who are 7 and 8 years old. Seems a tad young for some of this stuff.
Yeah.
They say they don't want to do it themselves, and they don't trust their kids' teachers to talk to them. They're willing to do it all in one session or spread it out over 6 weekly sessions. Good Lord. And ideally, they want someone who's done it before. $3,500.
We should apply for this.
Yes.
The show could use the money.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, this is true.
And it could be a bonus show.
Mike, we could work together and use some sort of golf analogy or analogies to talk about it.
But we are not child care professionals. Well, what am I talking about?
Father.
I got three kids.
Yeah.
I'm a father.
You're like, look, do this. Little Michael, this is a 3-hole putt. Little Michael, this is an eagle. This is considered a birdie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a wonderful idea. I'm now in the pink. All right. Anyway, moving right along. That's all I got.
That's all you need.
Yeah. Peace. There are a lot of people who say they make their bed every day. But what I see in the background on like Instagram photos might be different. YouTube blogs, you know, you see people.
We've seen your house in Maine, Mike.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't make it all the time.
No.
According to a new survey, 37% of people say they always make their bed, and another 19% say they make it almost every day. So that's 56% of people right there. Only 7% admit that they never make it. I'm not in that category.
No.
And for, well, I am. Carla makes the bed almost every day now. So
and you lie in
she
it?
She does. I lie in it. Thank you. 14% rarely make it. What category are you going?
I would say rare. Rare for us.
Shannon makes the bed every day. It's part of our agreement.
Part of your instructions? Yes. Is that the way it goes with
that? Yeah, and Carrie rolls around a lot and murders the blankets. So it's like, you know, just screw this. Just we'll deal with it later.
So the reason you're giving for not making the bed is because it's tossed around?
No, the reason is lazy. But I'm just saying I want to throw Carrie under the bus.
Okay.
She's a bad sleeper. Amazingly, someone who sleeps so much should be better at it.
And now a little something. A Florida woman, upset about the size of her water bills, decided to send a message to the city by paying with $493 worth of pennies.
I hate this.
Dana McCool posted a video to Facebook showing her dropping off 49,300 pennies to pay her city water bill. McCool said that she wanted to send a message that water bills in the city are too expensive. She said city officials told her the high water bills are likely the reason for them is because there is a leak in her system. But a plumber and a leak detector told her that that was not the case. Her quote, "I just wanted to make a statement. I want other people to come forward that has this bill."
What?
Grammar.
Nice grammar.
Yeah. "I want other people to come forward that has could have went this bill."
Leaking, no good.
Raise your hand if you know what your water bill is.
Yeah. Well, it's a far-reaching issue.
Good for you, Oscar. Another great quality of yours.
I do because they turned my water off last week.
Do you know?
Oh, yeah, we've had that.
Do you know what I
last month?
I know because my neighbor knocked on my door and said, "Hey, did you have a higher water bill today?" And I'm like, "I don't know. Let me check." So I go online.
Sure.
And it's $125 for two people.
Right.
And I said, "It's $125. We haven't changed anything." He goes, "Mine's
you call the city and tell them you live in a dollhouse."
My house is $125 as well, and I live in Florida half the year.
Ooh, and he's down here now.
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right.
Something's going on.
Yeah.
If you got to pay it, bring the pennies over like this lady in Florida. And it leads me to the Florida slogan of the day. Florida, don't piss us off or we'll show you the crazy. There you go. Bingo. We'll take a break and it's the Audio Vault with Rob Spiewak coming up on the Mike O'Mary.
It's Tony and Gary.
Hey there, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. It's me, Tony Perkins.
It's me, Gary Stein.
And this week, joining us on the show, from the Mike O'Mara Show, it's Rob Spiewak.
I'll pause for the disappointed sighs.
We're going to find out about all that Rob is doing in his life, and we're going to play a game where we decide the best picture ever made.
How long will that take?
Well, wait till you find out. Rob, you okay over there?
I think we're still recording.
Check it out, TonyPerkinsShow.com. Subscribe on iTunes and download the Tony Perkins Show app.
The Tony Perkins Show.
You and Stein with those butter-coated pipes.
Did you come in?
Yeah.
Did you see Adrian Lee without doing any work?
No, I came in late.
Oh, my God.
We did not cross paths. I didn't get in until like 3:30.
I got firsthand knowledge from Rofo, who was in town for like a day from his moving jobs.
Yeah.
Adrian came in, stomped, and goes, "I'm here to put up the soundproofing for the Mike O'Mara Show studios." And Tony says, "We're recording today." And he goes, "Okay, I'll sit down." And he sat down.
Oh, that's how it happened?
And like just paneled because he couldn't do the other room.
And then he left. Without working. That boy. Unbelievable.
See, I had been booked since Tony sat down.
Okay.
So, you know, we
didn't see each other.
No, we never crossed paths. Yeah, okay. Sorry about that.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Amazon. Everyone knows Amazon is the best. If you need it, Amazon has it. What is today's Amazon purchase of the day, Rob Spiewak?
As you know, we're going through sort of a remodel here at Podcast Village.
Yes.
And we needed new register covers for the heating and air conditioning ducts, right? And so we had a specific size we needed, a specific color, and a specific style. We went to Amazon, and it took all of 8 seconds. You can see exactly what we bought. It's beautiful. It's a matte black 6x12 register with damper, and it beat any price. We got it all at Amazon. They'll be here today.
That's the kind of stuff that it happens at Amazon every single day. They really do have everything. You can find these register covers and more at MikeOmeraShow.com. Without further ado, let's open up the audio vault for today, Thursday, the very first day. How did your March come in? Did your March come in okay? Did it come in like a lion or did it come
like
in
a sloth?
A sloth?
Yeah.
Surprise me.
A sloth?
Sometimes it's sloth. I think some people call them sloth.
Do you need to talk to Mike?
Hold on. Who calls them sloths?
I've heard it.
Sloth.
No one does. Sloth? No one does sloth.
Well, I'm going to start it here.
We're going to leave the room and you can talk to Mike.
No, I don't want to do that. It would involve too much walking. So it came in murky, 50 degrees the way it's been, the way most of the winter has been, halfway in between of everything.
It's so gloomy.
It's horrible. You want to kill yourself.
By the way, I was told by a neighbor it's been a warm winter down here in Florida, which is indicative of an active hurricane season again.
So you're on the air, you're doing the news in Milwaukee, and you go to a live shot and you look in the sky and you see what really looks like UFOs. Swirling, glowing objects, a bunch of them moving almost like in a video game. Mm-hmm. And it's really mysterious looking. This video is on our Facebook page. So check it out. Here's how they reacted to it, because they honestly did not know what they were looking at.
Are those fireworks? What is that?
It looks like some fireworks or something.
Aliens? I don't know.
What the heck is that?
What is that? You see it, right?
I'm actually, yes, okay. I do see it.
Okay.
Can you stop for a second? Sure, stop for a second. Are they on air?
Yes, they are that taken by.
Is there a reason why the dude is deciding to just sleepwalk through the whole segment?
Yeah, because they're on in Milwaukee.
Okay,
that's why.
All right, very good.
They're sticking around.
We're going to do some digging and figure out what that is back in a moment.
Turns out they did the research. What it is, you know how cameras are set with high gain to film at night?
Yes.
So it's more sensitive to light. They were seagulls that were reflecting light from a building, but it was too bright and it was making them all smeary. And so the seagulls looked like aliens. But you need to see the video and you can see how these guys would think this was something unidentified flying in the sky, because it looked so freaky. But it turned out it was just seagulls.
Not the anchors, the seagulls, because they're in Milwaukee.
Milwaukee seagulls.
That's right.
Well, as you know, Hope Hicks has left her position at the White House.
Resigned.
And President Obama issued a statement.
Hope in the face of difficulty. Hope in the face of uncertainty. The audacity of hope. Choose hope. Choose hope.
Choose hope.
Choose hope. Choose hope.
Choose hope.
Where did you find that?
By the way,
that's so good.
We will break down everything about this and the chaos that seems to be continuing on political persuasions with Chris Freight's new show will be dropping today. So we'll be talking all about that.
MSN has ranked the funniest SNL skits of all time. I want your take on the top three.
Okay,
because they did 25, and you know what? All the ones that should be there are there, and it's hard because it's been on for nearly 50 years now, and so there's too much to pull from. At number three, this sketch, a Will Ferrell sketch.
It doesn't work for me. I gotta have more cowbell.
No.
Don't blow this forest, Gene! I gotta have more cowbell, baby.
Yeah, it's sad they put that in the
That's
top
not
three.
Top three.
Guess what?
Not even close.
I got a fever, and the only prescription... It's more cowbell.
So that was Christopher Walken as producer Bruce Dickinson.
I think
Dickinson.
It's funny. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I think it's funny. Do I think it's the funniest? Absolutely not.
Well, also, this is kind of strange timing because of the Natalie Wood situation, that he was on the boat and they're reopening the investigation.
Yeah, it almost makes me think he's
Walken
weird.
Was on the boat. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Christopher Walken.
Mike, I agree with number two, I think. Here's MSN's second funniest SNL sketch of all time.
Now, young man, what do you want to do with your life?
Actually, Matt, I kind of want to be a writer.
Well, Lottie frickin' duh!
Big win. Big win.
We got ourselves a writer here! Hey, Dad, I can't see real good. Is that Bill Shakespeare over there?
Well, actually, Matt, Ellen and I have encouraged Brian in his writing.
Dad, I wish you could just shut your big yapper!
Love it.
Now, I wonder... Brian, from what I've heard, you're using your paper not for writing, but for rolling doobies. You're going to be doing a lot of doobie rolling when you're living in a van down by the river.
Yes.
And the reason I think that that is so valid, I not only love hearing it again, I remember where I was when I first saw it because I couldn't believe my eyes.
Where were you?
I was at Brad's house. We were watching it. And at the end, when he fell down on and broke through the table, I said, this is fantastic.
And then you him off.
And that's right. Mm-hmm. And we always got along because we shared so much, like our hatred of you.
Dumpster.
Hey, Dumpster. And the number one funniest sketch from the history of Saturday Night Live, going old school.
It's okay, Clef. Men are marking girls. Enjoy you too.
No.
They enjoy
you don't think it holds up?
No, I was there. All the time.
I was there for
So get off my back, you big sex machine. Now you know where to wild and crazy guys.
I have it to ask you, has anyone been
overplayed?
More...
It was overplayed. It was overdone.
Like has anyone been more often tangentially connected to great comedy than Dan Aykroyd? He's always just on the outskirts of it, isn't
but
he?
But here's the thing.
Coneheads.
How do you get the top
Blues
three
Brothers.
And you don't have... John Belushi in there?
Mm-hmm.
How do you do that?
True.
You
very
do
true.
That because you're clueless about what's the real funny. And John Belushi, by the way, they weren't sketches so much as John Belushi doing, I can go back and look at the old school one, Bass-O-Matic, the Julia Child sketch should have been number one. That was when I've cut the Dickens out of my
that
finger.
Yeah, Dan Aykroyd is Julia Child.
Mm-hmm. That was hysterical. John Belushi doing his impression of Joe Cocker next to Joe Cocker. Which probably is the most
John Belushi, anytime Belushi was on the anchor desk doing a commentary.
Absolutely. It was fantastic. Speaking of March, do you have the one where it's March comes in like a lamb?
I do.
Oh, my God.
Can we open the show with it tomorrow? Because it's long. It's like 2 minutes.
Tomorrow, March.
2 minutes,
we would do it. It's so funny. It's
all right.
Funny.
And so anyway, those are their selections, which makes me think that over at MSN, they're rolling doobies. Let's close with this. I thought this was a great moment on Conan last night. A family found out the house they were buying had been used to shoot a porn film.
Hey, in Arizona, after a couple found out that a house they just bought had been used to shoot pornos, they withdrew their offer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Well, technically, they pulled out.
That's your magic audio ball. Have a great Thursday, Dumpster.
Saw that one coming. Anyway, that's it, people. Thanks for joining us for another episode. Be sure and get our TMOS app and unlock the Mike O'Mara Show 24 hours a day. Send your messages or for our Tuesday mailbag to Rob with an extra B at MikeO'MaraShow.com. All regular mail to TMOS Box 32101, Washington, D.C., 20007. And each day, 96 Americans killed by guns. Visit every town for gun safety to find out how we can end gun violence in America. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara inviting you to join us again for the best part of your day, the Mike O'Mara Show. Bye-bye, everybody.
So long.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeO'MaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Hi, Mike.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.